The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you doing here?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I know you've got something better to do, so like, what's up with this? Ladies and gentlemen, self-deprecating humor, huh? Yeah, an example right there. Hey, good afternoon, good morning, whatever. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. Yes, I'm the one in the middle. That's me. I'm waving my hand. See me? See me? Look out the window. You see, I'm the one waving to you. Yeah, I know. It's that personal, right? You're listening to the show a little too close. Could you back up a little bit? Get away from the speaker a little bit? Okay. You're invading my personal speaker space. Don't do that. Do not do that. You know the Incredible Hulk, when he gets angry, he turns green and hulks up like with his, he turns green. Me, when I get angry, I get gas, so that could be worse. All right, that's enough. That's enough opening. Oh my God, kids of the nation, the holidays are upon us. Before you know it, it'll be tomorrow. And then it'll be the day after that. And then, my God, it'll be the day after that. This is getting crazy, huh? Thanksgiving is just around the corner. Peek your head around the corner. Look, there comes Thanksgiving. There's the big Macy's Day balloons, the parade balloons, those things. They're blowing them up right now. Takes a lot of blowing. Yeah, all the Macy's employees, they have to go to a certain location in New York and put their mouth to the balloons and blow them up. Takes weeks to do that. A lot of them die in the process. But parade goes on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's always the beginning of the holiday season, is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Ooh, yeah, it's a tradition. Because we grew up with that. I don't care where you're from. Well, I do, actually. But I don't really care where you're from. Because though that Macy's, that we all watch the parade, and now, you know, it's a tradition. Sometimes we forget to watch, but still, it's a tradition to forget to watch. Everything's a tradition. I love Thanksgiving, as I've said many times, because it's one of the few holidays that you don't have to go to church. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go to church. You can do the whole holiday in your pajama pants until the people come over. Then you have to put on some slippers. But after the meal, you can sit in a chair and undo your pants. What kind of holiday is this? And then Christmas comes, and it's not Christmas itself. It's that gift-buying crap that was... Who started that? Was that Jesus? Did Jesus start that too? How do we get into this gift-giving thing where it's incumbent upon you to spend money in order to make people a surprise when they open up a box? What the hell's going on with us? I know. As a matter of fact, on today's show, I have a couple of guests that are going to help you with this gift-giving thing. One of them is going to suggest some gift ideas, specifically an expensive one, unfortunately. The other one is going to help you actually make these purchases so that you don't go broke. So that's coming up a little bit later. If you've ever looked forward to anything, it may not be that, but it could be. So we'll find out together, right? No, so what is it with me saying, you know what I'm saying? What am I turning into here? I hate that. I hate when people say that to me. Hey, Ron, it's going to snow tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you said it's going to snow. I get it. And it's going to be cold outside, too. You got to put on a sweater. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to put on a sweater. I understand English. What are you talking about? Yeah, I went on a date last night, and she was crazy. You know what I'm saying? No, now I don't. I don't, you didn't tell me why she was crazy, so I don't know what you're saying. No, now I don't know what you're saying. You're going to have to expound upon that, which I really don't have time to hear it, nor do I care. But no, I didn't know what you were saying in that particular situation. You didn't understand me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know. Oh, God, shut up. Stop saying that. God. Yeah, it is a holiday time. Now the holidays are going to come fast and furious. In the summer, wasn't much going on. You know, you did a little barbecue thing. You know, you got your, you had Memorial Day. That was good. And then 4th of July, which I think usually falls on the 4th of July, because it's in the description of the holiday. And then Labor Day, when, you know, we honored the pregnant women. And then nothing, you know, nothing much going on. You know, you got your little holidays. But no, I'm talking about the big power ones, the big power holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Boom, boom, boom. And Thanksgiving, yeah, that's not far away. And then a month later, it's Christmas. And then a week later, it's New Year's. Whoa, boom, boom, boom. And then nothing for months. Valentine's Day, it's not a holiday. Give me a break. No one takes that off. So that doesn't even count. The next one is Easter, and that's like way in the spring, like way. So there's nothing that happens after New Year's, nothing much. So we have to make up holidays. You know, we made up things like a winter vacation. What the hell? Yeah, but that's usually around the New Year's thing. But then we do the spring break. And then we take a week off in February. I don't know why. I don't know what you call that. But colleges are off. Schools are off for a whole week in February. It's February Day. I don't quite understand that whole thing. If you want to honor somebody, honor me. I've been around for a while. Give me a holiday. I'll do February. And then you can give the kids a week off. At least you have a reason for it. Van Damme Day. Come on. What's so stupid about that? You know what I get all the time? No, you don't, because I haven't told you yet. My name is Ron Van Dam. Nice to meet you. How are you? Don't handshake. We'll fist bump, okay? Less germs and, you know, I got a little more power in my fist than I do in my hand. So we'll fist bump. Anyway, I'm Ron Van Dam. When I go into places, you know, and they ask what my name is for some reason, and I say Ron Van Dam, they say, oh, are you related to Jean-Claude Van Dam? And I always say, yes. As long as you're going to, like, strike up the fantasy, I'm not going to ruin it for you. Yeah, he's my brother, okay? Lay off or I'll beat the crap out of you with Jean-Claude, who's coming over Thursday for dinner. Yeah, I don't know if they mean it or if they're just kidding around. Oh, wow, Jean-Claude Van Damme? Yes, indeed. Yes, he is my brother. What the hell's wrong with you? Why, is that a problem for you? Is that a problem for you? You know what I'm saying? So when they say Jean-Claude Van Damme is am I related to him? Is he my brother? Are they serious? Are they screwing with me? I'll screw right back with you like you're a telemarketer. Oh yeah. I'm fooling around with you. Anyway, our first guest coming up soonly, which is not a word by the way. Soon Yi would be Woody Allen's 10-year-old wife. That's different. Let's talk about Woody Allen for just a second, shall we? I think he's an incredible film director, an incredible talent. But for some reason, something's like not right. He married daughter-in-law, actually, I think. Or no, stepdaughter. Yeah, about 30 years younger than he is, at least. but the marriage is still working out. They're still in love, and now soon Yi is old enough to be an actual person, to be an adult. And Woody Allen is like 85 or 90 or something. I don't know. But it's working out. They're having a great time. They travel. I mean, see, Woody Allen, because he is so talented, let me explain something to you about talent, okay? Talented people are fucked up. Shh, don't tell anybody you heard this from me. Talented people have to have something, fucked up's a little much. They have to have something wrong with them because they see things differently than you do. There are two kinds of people in this world as far as this category is concerned. Those are the ones that entertain and the ones that are entertained. It's like leaders and followers. Some people are born to be leaders. Others know we follow really well and we love following. And that's the same with entertainers and people who are entertained. Very creative people see things differently than you do. That's why they're so good at what they do. Artists, musicians, comedians, celebrities, actors, authors, writers, they all see things differently. They see things on a different level. They take in the information differently than you do, and they create something from it. You can't do that. They can. But the price you pay for being so incredibly creative is your vulnerability to sensitivity. You're sensitive. And you're saying, Ron, how can sensitive people stand up in front of others, and how is that sensitive? It is, because it's not a facade when they're standing on stage. It's a feeling of acceptance. And that's what they're going for, because they're sensitive people. And the sensitive people are good at creating things, much better than you. Makes sense? Does to me. And that is actually the case. Us creative people have sensitivity to everything. We have anxiety. We have issues. We have mental instability from time to time. Oh, we're loving, wonderful people, but we're not exactly normal. If there was ever a reason for therapists to be in existence, it would be because of the sensitive, creative people, because they need that. No gift comes without price. Ron, you sound so incredibly knowledgeable. Yeah, well, no gift comes without price. No, Ron, some gifts are free. Bullshit. They are not. All gifts come with a price. When you give a gift to somebody during the holidays, who is benefiting from that? Well, it's kind of a win-win. The person who's opening up the gift and receiving the gift is very happy and very, very happy to open up the gift and to acknowledge it and get excited and, oh, look what I got, look what I got. But the real adulation goes to the gift giver, because it was their pleasure to see the other person happy. That's a nice sensitive thing. I think it's a good thing. But it's not just the giving and receiving. You receive when you give as well. Next time you're at your Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever the case may be, and someone's opening up a gift, take a look across the room at the person that gave them that gift. They will be so self-adulatedly happy. The warmth feeling of seeing somebody open your gift is more of a gift than the person opening the gift. Does that make sense to you? Or are we going back to the Woody Allen thing? Let's stay here. Let's stay here for a while. All right. Are you ready? All right. My first guest is Sally Morrison. and she knows everything about jewelry. Yeah, that's a pretty expensive gift. It also can lead to marriage, so be very, very careful with that. We're going to talk to her, and then after that, we're going to talk to somebody that owns a company that can help you buy stuff without paying interest rate on your credit card, or at least a lot. And that helps you buy the jewelry that Sally Morrison is going to tell you about. I like to connect my interviews. I think that's fun, but that's what we're doing today. But before we do any of that, we do have a commercial break for you.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Sally. How are you today?
Very well. How are you?
Not so bad. Diamond expert Sally Morrison is here. She's director of PR for Natural Diamonds at De Beers Group. We've talked to her before because she enlightens us upon the diamond stuff. And we got the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving and Christmas. They're grouped together, when you go to church, when you don't. But still, people get engaged. People get engaged in that area as well as Valentine's Day, but that's off here. This is a big engagement kind of holiday thing, isn't it?
It certainly is. More people get engaged at this time of the year than any other. In fact, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are the two single occasions where most people get engaged. So yes, it's a big season for sure.
And I know that the trends change from year to year as far as these stones are concerned. Is that the case again? Are there any new developments in popularity?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've talked about this a lot before. There are always changes in the culture, right? And I think we've been through that moment where size was everything and people wanted something bigger, bigger, bigger. Mm-hmm. And there's a return to this sort of new modesty and discreetness. And they want a beautiful natural diamond, but it's perhaps smaller. It's in a kind of classic setting,
right.
A solitaire, but maybe worn in a new way. You know, maybe a lot of the younger consumers are wearing in yellow metal, in rose tones, mm-hmm. rather than the more classic white metal. So that's definitely a change. But I think, you know, small is beautiful. Something small and perfect and natural seems to be what's on most people's agenda. Right.
Does the carrot make any difference now, or is it more or less the look of the ring itself?
Well, I think some people are always interested in size, but as I said, I think, you know, there's a kind of new discreetness mm-hmm. and modesty. And when you think about things like diamond studs, I've seen lots and lots of young women out there with very teeny diamond studs. They wear them every day. You know, they don't save them for a special occasion. They just wear them every day to their yoga class, to go running, whatever. And I think there's more of this sort of wearable jewelry. You put it on, you forget about it, and it sort of becomes part of your signature look.
Yeah. So engagement rings are one category, engagement rings or wedding rings, and you have a great selection of that. This comes into play in all types of jewelry. Necklaces are really big these days, I've noticed.
Definitely. I mean, the classic diamond solitaire necklace we're seeing make a huge comeback. Again, Some of them are in the classic round solitaire, but we're also seeing fancy cuts, little heart shapes, little oblongs. I mean, we have some great ones we've seen in some of the retailers. Zales and Kay have wonderful examples of these. We're also seeing those, what we think of as the classic tennis bracelet and tennis necklace, again, but maybe in yellow gold instead of classic white, maybe in small sizes. And again, less saved for special occasions and more just layered on to wear every day.
Okay. Are they going to ever, they have tennis bracelets, are they going to do pickleball bracelets, or is that pretty much not good?
Actually, I've heard about pickleball jewelry. Yes, indeed. Yes, I have. In fact, someone told me about this 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. I was only kidding, Sally.
Oh, well, you should get into business.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you a question that a lot of guys want to ask, and probably a lot of women want to say. How does a guy know what kind of jewelry to get a woman? How does he pick up on her tastes or desires?
Well, again, I think you look in her jewelry box, or you look at what she wears all the time, and you see what's missing, right? So if she's got studs, maybe she'd like some fabulous diamond hoops. If she's wearing, a little tiny tennis bracelet, maybe she'd like a bangle bracelet to layer it with. We've seen some great sort of bangles with natural diamonds from Jared's. They're beautiful. They sit very tight on the wrist, and they can layer with any other piece of jewelry she has.
Okay. The jewelry designers and even the wardrobe designers, do they kind of also help meld what's going to happen as far as jewelry is concerned? What is fashionable?
Definitely. I mean, we watch very carefully the young independent designers, because they come up with directional things, new, fresh ways to use diamonds. Sadly, you can't see them, but we've got some great pieces here in the studio from a couple of young, diverse designers who've been on the red carpet this past year. A young woman called Amasako made a beautiful, very contemporary collar for Amanda Seyfried that she wore last year. So we're seeing sort of interesting, bold statements from independent designers. And surely, they lead the way. They're the leading edge in terms of design. And we will start to see some of those motifs and silhouettes in the broader culture.
Great. All right. One more question here for you, Sally. What if I were contemplating a ring as a gift? How would I know what size she wears? The numbers aren't in it, like on the back of a blouse or anything. How do you know the ring size?
You steal something that she wears and you measure it. And there are very good little apps online where you can hold the ring against, a diagram, and that will tell you.
All right. I like stealing it. But put it back, right? Put it back when you finish.
Exactly.
All right. How do we get more information about all of this?
Go to adiamondisforever.com.
Perfect. Sally, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much. Have a great day. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Sally. How are you today?
Very well. How are you?
Not so bad. Diamond expert Sally Morrison is here. She's director of PR for Natural Diamonds at De Beers Group. We've talked to her before because she enlightens us upon the diamond stuff. And we got the holidays coming up. Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're grouped together. One you go to church, one you don't. But still, people get engaged. People get engaged in that area as well as Valentine's Day, but that's off here. This is a big engagement kind of holiday thing, isn't it?
It certainly is. More people get engaged at this time of the year than any other. In fact, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are the two single occasions where most people get engaged. So, yes, it's a big season for sure.
And I know that the trends change from year to year as far as these stones are concerned. Is that the case again? Are there any new developments in popularity?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a lot before. There are always changes in the culture, right? And I think we've been through that moment where size was everything and people wanted something bigger. Mm-hmm. And there's a return to this sort of new modesty and discreetness. And they want a beautiful natural diamond, but it's perhaps smaller. It's in a kind of classic setting,
right.
A solitaire, but maybe worn in a new way. You know, maybe a lot of the younger consumers are wearing in yellow metal, in rose tones, mm-hmm. rather than the more classic white metal. So that's definitely a change. But I think, you know, small is beautiful. Something small and perfect and natural seems to be what's on most people's agenda. Right.
Does the carrot make any difference now, or is it more or less the look of the ring itself?
Well, I think some people are always interested in size, but as I said, I think, you know, there's a kind of new discreetness mm-hmm. and modesty. And when you think about things like diamond studs, I've seen lots and lots of young women out there with very teeny diamond studs. They wear them every day. You know, they don't save them for a special occasion. They just wear them every day to their yoga class, to go running, whatever. And I think there's more of this sort of wearable jewelry. You put it on, you forget about it, and it sort of becomes part of your signature look.
Yeah. So engagement rings are one category. Engagement rings are wedding rings, and you have a great selection of that. But this comes into play in all types of jewelry. Necklaces are really big these days, I've noticed.
Definitely. I mean, the classic diamond solitaire necklace we're seeing make a huge comeback. Again, some of them are in the classic round solitaire, but we're also seeing fancy cuts, little heart shapes, mm-hmm. little oblongs. I mean, we have some great ones we've seen in some of the retailers. Zales and Kay have wonderful examples of these. We're also seeing those, you know, what we think of as the classic tennis bracelet and tennis necklace again, but maybe in yellow gold instead of classic white, maybe mm-hmm. in small sizes. And again, less saved for special occasions and more just lay it on to wear every day.
Okay. Are they going to ever, they have tennis bracelets, are they going to do pickleball bracelets, or is that pretty much not good?
Actually, I've heard about pickleball jewelry. Yes, indeed. Yes, I have. In fact, someone told me about this 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God. I was only kidding, Sally.
Oh, well, you know, you should get into business.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you a question that a lot of guys want to ask and probably a lot of women want to say. How does a guy know what kind of jewelry to get a woman? How does he pick up on her tastes or desires?
Well, again, I think you look in her jewelry box or you look at what she wears all the time and you see what's missing, right? So if she's got studs, maybe she'd like some fabulous diamond hoops. If she's wearing, you know, a little tiny tennis bracelet, maybe she'd like a bangle bracelet to layer it with. We've seen some great sort of bangles with natural diamonds from Jared's. They're beautiful. They sit very tight on the wrist and they can layer with any other piece of jewelry she has.
Okay. The jewelry designers and even the wardrobe designers, do they kind of also help meld what's going to happen as far as jewelry is concerned? What is fashionable?
Definitely. I mean, we watch very carefully the young independent designers because they come up with directional things, you know, new, fresh ways to use diamonds. Sadly, you can't see them, but we've got some great pieces here in the studio from a couple of young, diverse designers who've been on the red carpet this past year. A young woman called Amasako made a beautiful, very contemporary collar for Amanda Seyfried that she wore last year. So we're seeing sort of interesting, bold statements from independent designers. And surely, you know, they lead the way. They're the leading edge in terms of design. And we will start to see some of those motifs and silhouettes in the, you know, in the broader culture.
Great. All right. One more question here for you, Sally. What if I were contemplating a ring as a gift? How would I know what size she wears? The numbers aren't in it, you know, like on the back of a blouse or anything. How do you know the ring size?
You steal something that she wears and you measure it. And there are very good, like, little apps online where you can hold the ring against, you know, a diagram, and that will tell you.
All right. I like stealing it. But put it back, right? Put it back when you finish.
Exactly.
All right. How do we get more information about all of this?
Go to adiamondisforever.com.
Perfect. Sally, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new perk. Tomorrow's my birthday. Get out, Ron. Yeah, it is. Ugh. Anyway. as far as our interviews today are concerned, before you go purchasing anything, get a lot of different quotes first when you're making a major purchase. And secondly, when you use a credit card or a loan system or whatever that thing was, we don't approve of these things. We don't know anything about them. We're just bringing them to you as commercial spots, actually. So do your due diligence before you get involved with anything that has to do with money loans or credit cards, etc. Okay? All right, fine. I'll be back again, as I said, tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.